Okay, I do have a big cheshek that more people should know about Rishama Hoffman. Last year in SKA, I gave Shirim on his sefer on challenges and, you know, overcoming challenges. I gave a whole series of Shirim on that, and it was you know, Baruch Hashem, from the alumni in SKA, it was well received. I think here in Chinuch, this and still stuff they're trying to translate more stuff. But as they're still working on it, still still what to put out there. Just a quick background to Rishon Hoffman. Rishon Hoffman was a Talmud of Rav Isaac Sher in Slobodka, and that's where his main chinuch was from. And, but he also was very friendly with many other gedolim at that time. He was also very friendly with other people. So he was very close to Rav Shach. Rav Shach, whenever he had a bachur who needed, had a problem, he'd sort something out. They sent Rosh Hashanah. He was a confidant of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah would like tell him things that he told nobody else. He was very, very close to Rosh Hashanah. His friend was Rado Schwartzman, Rav Aaron Cutler's son-in-law, and he also spoke very highly of him. They spoke and learned a lot, and Bas Mashava, and they're very close. And he uses a lot of stories of these gedolim that he met to bring out his points very often. But very much what he brings out is through Mar Makovis. He always says, it's not Hoffman speaking, it's not me, it's the Vilna Gaon, it's the Rambam, the Shmona Prakim, it's the Ramchal. Everything is in Chazal. He says, everything is in Mar Makovis, and Yishon and Yachronim. You just have to know, have the chush, like to bring things out and to see it. He really does it in a very remarkable way. His Parnassa was not just sitting with Bachram at a tough time and like helping him. His Parnassa is that he was in charge of parole in the state of Israel, in the jails. Whether a person was right to be sent back out into the world or not, sat at his plate. That's what he was in charge of. And he would go in front of judges and read people. He was a tremendous pikeach in reading human beings and in human emotion interaction. And that's how he made his parnassa. That's what he did. Dealing with people, understanding people, seeing where they're coming from, getting to meet them. I think he had a social work degree, but more than that, nothing else. Nothing else that was higher than a degree in social work.
Is there a book about those experiences?
What? He weaves in all of those stories of people he met in the book that's been translated, the big book that's been translated by Feldheim. He has a few stories about people he interacted with and dealing with their problems, and all that is discussed. He uses all this to bring to life. So this is on Sinach. Now, just a little bit how it came together. So you obviously see it has a very unique format. It is a very different format. What?
When did he pass away?
In the Samach, so early 2000s. Yeah, so 2008. The only person who is in charge of editing and publishing and writing the stuff is a Rabbi Simcha Stein, who was a very close Talmud of his, who would go to Chaburas and have Chavrusas with him, and he writes about it. And he explains here in the introduction that this, even though he could have put it to print, this format he thought was nice, and they keep it in this format of his handwritten form. And he just writes about his style. He explains that Rabbi Hoffman has two things. There's the Talmud Iyuni, he writes in his Mavot. There's the way that Rabbi Hoffman would learn a sugya, analyze a machshava, look at a Marim Makom, that's one part. And the other thing is just his eitzes, his advice. And what he tries to do here is to weave them together, the weaving of the advice, weaving the analysis of the Marim Makomos. And to be clear, there are seven shirim here on Chinuch. It is not like he sat there and gave seven shirim on Chinuch. Rabbi Stein put things together. He took from one Chinuch van and he put things together over here and he put them together, all with Rabbi Hoffman's, you know, haskama, that he had the bracha, that he was in charge of these things. So before, we'll see how much we do tonight, but before we get to the first shir, it's important to learn through the hakdama, because in the hakdama, he lays out the yesod of what he's going to talk about. Now, two of the Marim Makomos I sent out, it's on your phones, you guys, somebody can send it to Dov if they want to send out one of the Marim Makomos. The hakdama is about the difference between Tikkun HaYetzer and Kvishas HaYetzer. The Hagdama is about the difference between fixing the Yetzer Hara and controlling the Yetzer Hara. So he says that the Rambam, the Vilna Gaon, the Rav Yisrael Salanter all speak about two ways to deal in Avodas Hashem. Tikkun HaYetzer, to take Yetzer Hara and channel it, and Kvishas HaYetzer, to control it, to stop it in its track. It's on page 1 on the bottom over here. Okay? So he says that, what's the difference between the two? He says that tikkun ha-yetzer is that I give the yetzer a tzura. I give it something to work with. And he says the yetzer hara is always pushing and pushing and pushing and wants hana. Your yetzer hara wants to be fed. It wants things to give to it. And that sipuk, that geshmak, the yetzer hara takes, it can come in a negative way or it can come in a positive way. And he says that it's up to us to decide. So he says, to be mesaken yetzer means shani mesapek o misnadev. I reroute the yetzer hara. My yetzer hara wants A, and I do something to feed it in a different way. I give it a tachlif. I give it a different spin, something else that would also satisfy it to make it happy. So he gives an example, okay? He gives an example. A child, inherently, from the baby is born, the baby wants this sucking feeling. It wants to suck on something. So the baby is crying. So what is the mother? She feeds the baby, right? So the baby drinks and drinks and drinks. And the baby's still crying. So what does the mother do? The mother feeds the baby again and again. And what happens? Eventually, the baby throws up because the mother overfed the baby. What's the problem? The mother thinks that the baby's yetzer hara is for food. That's not it. The baby wants mitzitza. The baby wants the calming effect to suck on something. So what does a smart mother do? She gives the baby a pacifier, right? She gives the baby a pacifier. And that allows the baby's yetzer to channel a different way. And he explains beautifully, just like if you keep on feeding your yetzer hara things that it wants, but it's not good for it too much, it's going to throw up. Your yetzer hara is going to reject at some point, and you're going to have a negative reaction. It's the same thing with us. We need to find a pacifier, so to speak. Every person's yetzer hara can have shlili, a negative way to feed it, or a positive way to feed it. And your job is to find the pacifier for your yetzer hara to channel it in a way that's going to be effective. The motzeitz, the pacifier that it needs. So he says this means that the yetzer hara has this tzorech for this hana, and you can feed it in a positive way, or you can feed it in a negative way. So he says, this is by all yetzer haras. There's a possibility that the chiyuvis, meaning a good way for it, that it's the makabalit through, he says, for example, kavod, right? I assume we are all living, breathing human beings, so we all want kavod, right? Everybody likes kavod. If you're going to say you don't, this means you're lying to me, or you're dead. So everybody likes kavod. So he says, kavod can come in two ways. You can get it through doing good things, through a mitzvah, through Torah, through ma'asim tovim, do something beautiful, and you get kavod through that. Or you can act in a disgusting way, and you'll get kavod through a ma'aser ra. You do it in a bad way. It all depends how you feed that yetzer and how you're going to serve Hashem. So he brings here, let's read through, a dugma nifla from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Okay? Everybody has it there? It's the first, didn't go through?
I have two things. Yeah, okay.
You know
yeah.
What
is
it?
Who?
The Dvar is a Talmud. The Talmud is a Talmud of his. His Rav Eliyahu Milikovsky, who is a Talmud of Chaim Soloveitchik. So let's read through the story that he says. So he says, Shemati davar muskal mi pi agon ha'adir. Rabbeinu Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Lebracha, b'shabdi b'shivas v'lash when I was in v'lashim. Hu omer shel panim yikra shedavka mishum sha'af haya rodef achar mitzvot v'chol kofo. He says, what happens? The father's running after mitzvot his whole life. He's involved in chesed, he's doing on and on and on, he's Torah, everything, doing what he's supposed to do. Ya b'no shover dal sayim, uvereach, kidei lignov haschorah shevachanusa shachareah. How does it happen that the father, whose mom is running after mitzvos, the son is like, you know, breaking into stores, stealing, doing all the wrong things, running after all the wrong things. The father is running after all the right things. You have it? Yeah. He says, the father's running after all the right things, and now the son's running after all the wrong things. How does that happen in life? So he says, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik haya oev levata es machshavaso b'sagnon charif v'tamu. He often expresses ideas in very sharp, interesting ways. Ashel chatchila haya nir shadavar hu omer min animnu. You think that he's saying like crazy things, but pay attention. He says, v'altam esi, hakeit, how does that happen? Hisber livamar, he said, yadua sheteva av over l'teva shalbein. Everything that's part of the nature of the father will go to the son. V'zehu rak hatchuna shu yeitz al ha'av b'tzivo b'etzim b'yoso. And this is just the nature of the father as part of his bria. V'lechein ha'pu'ulo sha'av osem mipas tivo mipas atzmuso anorom shagam ha'ben raga b'hem lasosam. The things that you are naturally inclined to will go to your children. That's what passes on. Avamashav ragil lasos mitzat ta'amim v'cheshponos lo mitzat utzmuso v'nisiyosu v'tivis einam overes berusho tevo ben. He says, the things that you do because you decide it's a good thing to do, or you want to do them, that does not go to your children, which is a very scary thing. Be'etzem, really who you are, that's what goes to your children. And therefore he says,
l'chein yotzei mizeh she'im ha'av rodef l'kayit, what? It's supposed to affect others.
But it depends. She'im ha'av rodef l'kayim ha'mitzos mipnei ahavaso tibias mitzvos Hashem. If you're running to do mitzvahs because of your natural love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, b'lishim cheshvan oschar mitzvahs el l'shma. You do it for the right reasons, because you love Hashem. Hatuchun hazu barucho shel av, hu tibis etzo uveros men olamo. That's going to go to your son. L'yos gam hu ha-ben ohev mitzvahs ho-roi davachem. And your son will want that, because you're passing over the atzmas of who you are. V'aval im teshuka tibis mitzvahs Hashem lo heitza la'av. But if you don't have a real teshuka for mitzvahs, that's not really what you're doing it for. Elishu rodef mitzvahs b'shul cheshvan haschar b'al mal. The father's wanting to do mitzvahs because some other ulterior motive. Hakarach be'ikvos kiyum mitzvahs that happens to be tied to mitzvahs. V'aschar hazeh chashuv be'inav harbe. And the schar is more chashuv. B'mikra ze'ein ha'ba'av mishum tvias. That's not really part of who you are. The mitzvah is not really part of your teva. Lo beredif achra mitzvah. She etz la rak al pi cheshvan hagi al yadam l'schar mitzvahs b'olam haba. You're doing it for the ulterior motive, for olam haba, whatever it may be. V'lo b'shi fasa l'schar shu etz la rak mishum she'aschar chashuv enam. What's chashuv to you? Serving Hashem or the schar? If it's chashuv to you to serve Hashem, that will go to your children. If it's chashuv you to get schar, that will go to your children as well. Im kein shuv cheshbon mashu osim mishum cheshinum betzav teva adam lekach mishnei eila lo yavor leteva haben klum. All those mitzvos are not naturally going to go to your son. Rak prat echad yesh b'mikra hazeh shu tevi eitzalav. The only thing that's part of your nature will go. V'ha netiyah lasos chashuv einav hu lokech asaschar hu lenose pulaso. Hanu hamitzvah sheim mevios v'aschar chashuv. V'teshuka tevias hazuv shev'av lasos pulaso mevios l'revach otzi hi overs amnam leteva abem. The things that running after gishmak things, that will go to the children. So he says, if in the eyes of the ben, he sees what's chashuv to the father, schar. Schar is chashuv to the father. So what's the son going to think? Mina'av eino over alav hashifa zu ki eitz alav lo haisa b'teva, u'teshuka ha'tevis ruvachem, halo yesh b'teva ha'ben, mashenach alav. So he said, what are my father? My father like gishmak things. So there's a beautiful watch behind the counter in a store. I want the schar. He's going to be rodef that thing. He says, just because it's not a given, says Rechaim, this is a very scary thing. It's not a given that just because the father is doing all the right things, that's going to go to the son. Why is the father doing the right thing? What's powering it? What's the teva of the father? What's the reason why he's doing it? That will go to the child.
But it's...
Yeah.
He asked, why do you see some people are very... parents are not fantastic with tzaddikim.
Yeah.
Here the kids are not religious. You see the reverse. People look like
Babas
and, you know, nothing special. And this kid becomes this huge stomach up. Then the right, football right, then the right. So this is scary. So it has to be the Shem Shemayim.
There you go.
It seems like
Baruch Shekivant the another Israeli to the Chaim Salvation. Good.
It's cool to see how we got there.
Okay, there you go.
That's
it. Yeah.
There's a true vinegar's measure, which is always bothering me. But he says the same thing, not the same topic. He writes Allah, like puts the Chazal say a little nida. Yeah, maybe Bonim Maksher.
Yeah.
He says that. He was Nagia for Shidduch, someone who was descending from someone who you know was a Shem Shem Mitzvahs, and he writes there that even if the person's a Balmid Smuflig, but it could be it came because he worked on himself.
Yeah.
But that doesn't go genetically.
Okay, I'm saying the same thing here. So again, back to but Tikkun, yeah.
No, but isn't it also a little bit of a chizik in the way that, meaning, even if someone messes something up, right, what's going to be transferred to the children is ultimately what.
Correct.
What your hanaga is, right? Like, even if you screw up, but, like, 90% of the time I'm running after mitzvahs.
I hear. Okay, there you go. Good. There's a positive side as well. So that's Tikkun HaYetzer. Tikkun HaYetzer is that we all have, we all have Yetzirah. To deny you have Yetzirah is obviously like Kfirah, because it means that you don't have like Bechira. We all have Yetzirah. The question is, what are you going to do with it? That's Tikkun HaYetzer. I channel it in the right way.
The really scary thing to me is that if a person tries their best to, whatever the mitzvah may be, Lulav and Esrog, right?
Yeah.
They try to like show that excitement. But then they happen to have like this, they love fancy sports cars.
Yeah.
So they're out in the street just randomly and they're just like, oh, look at that sport. Like, they can tell the difference. Kindle can tell
they
the
can
difference.
They can tell, yeah. What's,
that's kind of my point, is that, yes, if 90% of the time you're like, oh, that's a hush of sports car, then yeah, the 10% of the time you're excited about the mitzvah is not going to
translate. It's not good.
But like 90% of the time you're excited about mitzvahs, and then like,
it's a sports car.
The question is why? Meaning, is the father excited about geschmack things, and a lulav is a geschmack thing, and a sports car is a geschmack thing, or is the father excited about serving Hashem? Meaning, it's all about the teva. Right. What's pushing it?
Right, and most of the time it's not that. It's not that black and white. Like,
it's complex.
It's complex.
It's a big difference also from place to place.
Yeah.
Every time a rug puts on some kind of suit or whatever, other places, you go, let's say, to a place like Lakewood, you go ahead with a seal, relax. Don't get in the band. Here's the shas, now we can talk, you know? So that you, all of a sudden the kids don't see the same, but they do see the cards. It's a very big, you see in different places, in places in the world, there's a model of still play. A Chevy, here, there. Your point is very valid. I think I'm masking with him.
Okay.
Even though you have the nice card, even though you have the thing, but you see that 90% of the time, the Yidden are excited about what are they excited? The rock.
And that's true.
It's very interesting. When you're by a shir or something else, a lot of times there's always people talking. But when there's someone that makes a siyum, for some reason something happens and people just keep their mouth closed all the way to the end and they just stand and listen.
It's a chashu thing. Yeah.
You know.
We're not even talking about kids.
Nothing else in life, by the way. Else, people are talking.
As long as you don't carry too far.
Exactly.
What's the difference?
Watch the person in the person.
I don't think the person who's finishing something, you understand, it's a big deal, and everyone keeps quiet during it.
Okay, so this is that wasn't even a chinuch point. That was like he was just like, what does it mean tikkun hayetzer? What's kfishas hayetzer? What does it mean to mamish hold it down? So he says this, that we want something bad, but I'm misgaber, I overcome it, and I say I know I shouldn't do this. And he says I want watermelon, right? He says ani rotze avatiach, but I know that it's not good for my stomach, right? So he says it's not good for my stomach. So I'm misgaber. I want watermelon right now. I don't channel it. I just don't have watermelon. It's bad for me. I don't eat that thing. So the ratzon, I don't feed it at all. I just shut it down. So he says in Chazal, we find three kochos that you can use to stop Yetzirah in its tracks, just to not give in. He says the three things are seichel, busha, and yiras onesh.
He's supposed to go learn or something.
What?
Supposed to go learn.
Yeah, don't worry. He's good. So he's going to discuss. So he says, the first seichel is that I know that this is bad for me. I use my intellect. Like, it's if I smoke, it will be bad for me, and it will cause cancer and lung problems, so I will not smoke. I'm using my seichel to say why I shouldn't do it. And I should avoid all these things that are not proper. I use my intellect to avoid these different types of things. Even though my ratzon is telling me I want to have, five eggs every single morning, I know that for my cholesterol, that's not going to be a good thing. The second thing is busha. He says, I really want something, but I'm embarrassed about how it's going to look. So he tells the story of, he doesn't say the whole story, but he tells the story of Avram Chassid, this is the end of Kedushin, that there was a woman in his house, and he wanted to sin with her, and he took a ladder, and he was climbing up to the place where the woman was, and he right before he got to the top, he said, fire! There's a fire! And everybody came, and all the Rabbanim came, and they caught him in the middle of the ladder going with the lady. So the Rabbanim said, we're so embarrassed by you. How can you do such a thing? So he said, better I should be embarrassed this way than like the other way. Like, you know, better I should use this to stop it. So use a form of busha. How could I act? It's so embarrassing if I get caught like this. If I do this aveira, I'm going to be embarrassed. And it's a terrible busha. That's the second thing that can stop the yitzhar in its tracks. The third thing is yiras onesh, that I simply control myself. You know, I don't speak lashon hara because I'm afraid of what's going to be in, you know, in Shemayim, Gehenna, whatever it's going to be. So those are things that a person can use. So he says, memeilu, we see the difference in avodas Hashem, the yitzhar hara, kvishas hayetzer versus tikkun hayetzer. Tikkun hayetzer is a darga, a level where I don't want the ra itself, and I'm able to channel it and to feed my yitzhara in a way that's going to be positive. Kvishas hayetzer is that I want the ra. I want it, but I tell myself I'm not going to do it. So he goes on to say here, what's a higher level? Should we strive for tikkun hayetzer, or should we strive for kvishas hayetzer? What's the better thing to do? So he quotes a well-known Rambam in Shmona Prakim and Paragvav. Rav Shlomo Hoffman said that the biggest sefer to learn is Shmona Prakim of the Rambam. He says all the yesodos of psychology and how to act and how to think is in Shmona Prakim of the Rambam. He would give shiurim on it many, many times. So he says as follows. He says, if a person is a chassid, so he doesn't want the object, he's not interested in the ra, and all of his things are l'shem shemayim. Is that the better thing? Or is the bigger person the gibor, who has the yetzer hara, but he controls it? That's the Rambam suffering. So what do we say? Who's better?
The yetzer hara controls it.
He has the yetzer hara controls it. Instead of just saying, mamash, I'm done with the yetzer hara. Nothing. Why is that?
How do you keep saying that?
Person says, I got into a place, I don't have the yetzer hara for these things. I'm above it.
You most likely get the bigger tzchosim with controlling these.
Theoretically, if
the
it's
like when you walk by McDonald's, you should say you're interested in the.
Right, so this is the Rambam.
I'm interested in the.
This is the Rambam.
Shabbat
Shulam, right? So he says, the Rambam says, the philosophers say that the chassid is better because he's gotten rid of the ra, he has no type of anything, and the gibor still has that ra inside of him. But the Rambam says that we see from Chazal's the hefech, the opposite. Hakovish as Yitzro is more chashev than the person who doesn't have a Yitzhar at all. So he says that kol agadol mechavero, Yitzro agadol menu, haraya, right? Obviously, if you have Yitzhar, it makes a person better. And he says, lefun tzar agra, right? The more difficult it is, so the more, you know, pain there is, more pain, more gain.
From the blind Tana, who said, when they...
Mitzvah Yosef.
Right, you said. Correct. Then he came back and goes, oh, I really need the mitzvahs because I need Bichayev, right. Otherwise.
Correct. Tosa says, right, if we do Mitzvah Yosef, then we have Yitzhahara, it's in order to do those things. I always say, right, like when your mother tells you to take out the garbage, like over your, like, mom, don't tell me what to do, right? But like when you take out the garbage, mom's like a big tzaddik, they should make a kiddush for me, I should be on the front, front cover of Mishpacha, I took out the garbage, like whatever. But like when somebody tells you, like, don't tell me what to do, because Yitzhahara, when somebody tells you what to do, you want to tell them to go drop dead. Like, you know, exactly. So that's a natural thing. So the Rambam says, it depends on the type of mitzvah, right? The Rambam says, if it's a mitzvah, that's tzichlius, a logical midas type of mitzvah, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. So then a person should get to a place where they have no time. That's it. You never want to be a person like, ach, mamash, such a yitzhar to murder. I can't. Hashem says it's over. I can't murder. It's like, you know, that's the person you don't want to go on a long drive with anyway, right? You're
supposed to, doesn't it say you're supposed to become a shochet then?
Yeah. So,
which is a way of channeling.
Well, that is Tikkun
HaYetzer. Well, I was talking to someone a week ago or something.
Yeah.
You may have been there. I don't know. We were talking about, I said, like, on Shabbos, I don't have, there's no urge to, like, pick up my phone.
Correct. Yeah.
There's no urge. And the person responded to me, but I have an urge to smoke a cigarette.
Uh-huh.
So, like,
interesting.
It's like some yes and no work, where you just not worked on yourself enough to like realize Shabbos is like a hard break and there's nothing to do.
These two studying the Rambam, other religions.
I don't know, but it's so really a hard break. And you have meditation. You can't do it.
Else is a bad thing.
But they feel that the
prove things like that.
They may have a craving to want it, but they know when they're. It's not even nothing to talk about. If it's nothing to talk about, like picking up your phone on Shabbos, then you don't even have an urge for it.
So he said, that's mitzvah sechlios. Mitzvah sechlios, we want to get to a place where there's no yitzhara. There we want that it's all yitzhara, total no yitzhara. But when it comes to mitzvahs chukios, basu b'chalav, shatnez, things like that. So there the Rambam says, efshi ve'efshi u'ma'esa shekadosh baruch hu gazar alai. Walk by a treif restaurant, smells delicious. Person should say, I really want it, but what can I do? Hashem said I can't have it. That's where a person has kvishas hayetzer. Where a person has a yetzer, and he says, no, I'm not going to do it, because that's not the ratzon Hashem. So he quotes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in the Or Yisrael in the 30th Maimer. And he brings the words of the Rambam, and he expands, and Yisrael is mechadish, that there's two types of tikkun. He says, in mitzvah sichlios, tsarech lo dia b'chol davar v'davar l'tikkun prati. In logical mitzvos, each particular aspect, sheba masav she'enu mishtokek b'klal ra, v'lam mitzvah sachukios eish tikkun klali. So in each particular sichli mitzvah, that's a logical mitzvah, you have to work on each one to get to a place in the attack and that you don't have any yitzhahara in those areas. But in general, he says there's a darga of when it comes to mitzvah chukios that a person should want to serve Hashem and want to be in a place of serving the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And he quotes the Gra that a person has to get, should try to work to a level of tikkun yetzer. And he says not because that's a higher level of gvur and avodas Hashem. El mishum shi efshar kol hachayim lichbosh. He says a person cannot function on that level, says the Vanagon. The Vilna Gaon says you cannot function in life always on fighting mode, always attacking, pushing Yitzhara. You're going to burn out. If you're always pushing Yitzhara away and saying, no, 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 I'm never going to do it, you're going to burn out, says the Gra. You're not going to be able to, he says, muchrach lefros. You're going to explode. You're going to be like a volcano. You're going to explode at some point. You can't function. Therefore, you need to have both of those things. Ha'adam muchrach lekabel sipuk v'hana, says the Gra. A person must have sipuk v'hana in his life in some area. The question is, where is it going to be and what are you going to do? Kvisha is a case where there's no sipuk, there's no hana. I'm shover, I break it. And the Gra says that we have to have both areas. And a person has bechira to decide, is this an area where I give into the Yitzhahara and have a kosher form of it, or is this an area where I control? And he says in the Vilna Gaon, that's where the bechira comes in. I have to decide, do I squash my Yitzhahara over here, or do I channel it in a positive area? This is all a hakdama. There's nothing about chinuch here. We'll finish the hakdama here, and then we'll begin with the first shiur next time. So he then says the second part to the tikkun hayetzer. He says, "Ba'omek kochos hanefesh kol pam shemisorer teshuka dachef lahana." So he says, in our kochos hanefesh, deep down inside, whenever there's a teshuka, so we want to, you know, push away that hana. And he says, "V'atzal lo masig eze," and we say that we're not going to get that thing, right? He says a person wants, you know, is pushing for kavod, for eating, for money, and things like that. Zeu matzav she'energia dachpa lahasig hana v'lo sipakti v'lo hirshati osa. I can't calm it down. I'm pushing and pushing and pushing, and I can't calm it down. He says that energy is not going to go away. If a person has energy in life and they want something, you cannot shut it down. It's going to come out somewhere. V'ein shum energia sheholachas libud. No energy dissipates. Hichayaves eichshu l'shachar. It has to come out somewhere. And every single time I don't feed it, then I'm going to have to fight it. I can't leave it nowhere. Therefore, he says many times. He says young children, for a long time they'll be quiet. They'll be very calm. They're well behaved, and all of a sudden they just explode. They just, like, you know, they start destroying things, breaking things. So why is that, right? I'll tell you, it's a different case, right? In school, the kid can hold it together, right? An angel, he does everything he's supposed to do. He's respectful to the teachers, a model student. And he comes home, and the kid is out of control. Like, what happened? The answer is because he needs some outlet. He's been holding it all day, from 8 o'clock in the morning, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He needs an outlet. He's been a good boy, a good girl all day. He has to come out somewhere. So he'll come out at home. And lehafech, you'll have a kid who's, you know, great at home. This is more rare. But you'll have a kid who's great at home, very special. And in school, the kid's a bilta chayim. Like, mom makes the kids, every single teacher has him, wants to retire, like, by mid-year. So, like what happens? So this is what he says. He says, a child needs to channel it somewhere, okay? Shehitztarbu, they accumulated inside of them all of this energy and had nowhere to go. And they
have to throw all of it off at one moment, this energy in some area. And therefore, you need to channel the child's energy in a different direction. So he has a place for it to be free. So therefore, you have to have some sipuk, some hana, something that he's able to fill it and be able to be free from this energy. And that's tikkun hayetzer for a child. Tikkun means b'makom la hishtachrer b'tzura shlilis ata mesapek lo sa energia sipuk b'tzura chiyuvis. Your child has a lot of negative energy. He wants to channel, and by this time, it's like a 5-year-old. It can be for a 15-year-old, right? The same thing. The child has energy, needs to get it out somewhere. The kid, a 15-year-old kid, wants to be cool. They want to be accepted. So they're doing it in a way that's not healthy. So give them a healthy way to do it. Channel it in a healthy way for them, that feeling of being cool, to being accepted. But b'makom l'shachrer b'tzura this, or a good way to do it in a positive way as well. So he gives an example here. He says, b'makom sh'lanos mishokolad instead of chocolate, you can give him hana from Rabbi Kibager. Okay, we're talking about a certain type of child, something give him a geschmack in a different way, and there. But he's obviously correct, but we can do it. You can give a child a geschmack in learning. So a kid's not getting it from Gemara, so he's not getting it from Gemara. So give him something else. Give him some other way that he can get a geschmack in learning, and therefore it's always appropriate. It's kedai to give a child mashushina. The child needs to have some hana. He can't go all day and have no hana. And therefore, we need to be mesakan the Yetzer in this way. Tiftach lo, give him music, games that are that cause him to use his mind. He has to thinking games, things like that. Give him a bike so he can ride around. He has to have energy in somewhere in a positive way. And this is chayif lios mashu shiatim, l'tchuno shalo, something that fits his personal way. Uvitzayishu nanam is that, and he also has a gishmak. If it fits his kochos and he has a hana from it, then give the child something in that positive way. He tells, we're not going to go into this Gemara here, he brings Gemara about Tanaim Abrayim, who would break like Kalim, like rip things. Like we know the Gemara says in Shabbos, if you can rip something on Shabbos because you got your energy, you're chayav for ripping, because that's a tikkun, it's not a kilkul, because it was a positive thing. You let out your energy in a positive way, that would be effective. So then he comes to the last piece over here, and he says that whatever we can do to give that sipuk and that fulfillment, and give him that hana, memeilu hu yitzarech pachos l'sapek haseitzah b'tzuras leish, and therefore you won't have to use the yitzhar in a negative way. Less anger, less kina, less destruction. It'll be a happier child if he has a positive area to do these things. And therefore, l'chein, he says, the gra would always highlight that the ikar of the idea of tavlin shel Torah. What does it mean that I made the Yitzhara and the Torah is the tavlin? That means that there's a mesikas haTorah. The Torah is only a tavlin. The Torah is only a tavlin for the Yitzhara if it's geshmak. Says the Gra, it doesn't mean you have a kid who's struggling with Yitzhara and you put him in front of a menachos and a hard sugya, he's good to go. No, he has to have a geshmak in the learning. That's why Torah is a tavlin, because he has a hana from it. And there he has the simcha in his learning, so that will fulfill his ratzon in other areas. And it will make him feel matzliach, he'll feel good, he'll feel accomplished. And therefore, ki kishalomid mitoch kavisha, when you learn from kite, he says, so that's learning olam haba, right? You have to learn this gemara, because it'll be good for olam haba. You have to do this mitzvah, because it'll be good for olam haba. That's kvisha sayetzer. Right? That's saying you have a Yetzirah, now we have to control it because you need to get Olam Haba. But that's not going to help him in his learning at all. He's not going to remember his learning because you're using Torah to be Kovish the Yetzirah. You're not using Torah to be Mesakan the Yetzirah with a Geshmak. And then he talks about at the end here, Pu'ulos Kefisios, compulsive actions. He says, L'chol Adam Yesh, every person has inner conflict. This constant milchama of different ritzonos of things that are conflicted inside. He says, for example, you want to read the newspaper, but you also have to go to kollel, right? It's kollel seder starts at 9:00, and you look at the newspaper. We can make it relevant to everybody here. You have to go to a shir. You have a chavrusa. You're looking at your phone, and you're still looking at your phone. So what's going on? We have a conflict over here, right? This is where you have two desires that are meeting, and it's creating a conflict. So what do? You need, do you have, can you always be kovish the Yetzer all the time? Therefore, he says, many times a person has to have a sipuk in different actions to have compulsion, to force someone in a different direction. Ki kol pa'ula v'tazuza, she'ata meziz. Every action or movement you do with your hand or your feet or your mouth, your eyes, so that burns energy. You're burning energy. V'kacha adam misragel l'shachrer energios kvushos. A person needs to get in the habit of burning energy to be kovish the yetzer. Ade pula kavua shenoses sipuk leitzarim kavushim. What can you do? So he says. So and often you need to get energy out. You have energy, so you're looking at your phone, right? So looking at your phone, Get that energy out somewhere else. Do something else to get that energy out, so you don't have that feeling the need to do something. So he says. He gives for example. We see this with children. He says a child is wetting his bed. He says a child is stubborn. Why? There's something inside the child's Yitzhahara that is not being fed. So the Yitzhahara is erupting in another area. It's coming through a stutter. It's coming through the bedwetting. There's something else that it's not being channeled properly. And it needs somewhere else. It needs mechir, he says. It needs to be payment. The Yitzhahara needs its payment. It's going to get it from somewhere else. And therefore, the person needs to break the physical barriers that is normal to him. Busha, Seichel, Yira, Afilu Shlita al Shirim, Vuose Komine Pulos Shinosis Lo Sipuk, Vumishachres Ergenos Kavushos. So a child or a person needs to find a place to channel that energy. A person has energy in the wrong places, so you find another way to channel in a positive way and to use it in that regard. This is a hakdama to everything. We said a lot on Chinuch, but we said very little on Chinuch. You can't understand the next seven shirim without this yisod, says Rabbi Stein. So this is the opening of Kvisha versus Tikkun. Yeah.
It seems like he's going to the core of all issues.
Yes.
Maybe parents need to be able to read the kid to see that there's an issue.
Correct.
Sometimes you got to know the...
And they need to be aware of the tools that are available.
And it's fascinating that he starts with this.